Shabbat Shalom. Happy Sabbath to you. Hope you had a good week. I promise I'll try not to go too long. You know, we live in a time when everybody is searching for something. There's a great awareness going on in the world. Everybody's is thinking that there's something big that's getting ready to happen. And indeed, there is something big that's getting ready to happen. Title of this sermon that today is going to be, "The End is Coming, But It's Not Yet." A lot of people are asking, when is the end going to come? And it's not anything new, because even the disciples of Christ had asked at one time, "Lord, when is the end going to come?" Today I'm going to talk mostly about the prophecy in Matthew 24. Sometime when you get some time, maybe this evening or next week, you want to read also Mark 13 and Luke 21 with it to give you more clear details about what's going on. But what I want to point out today is that we can know when the end's going to come. And that, as Matthew 24 shows us, Luke 21 shows us, that Christ has given us at least seven key markers that shows us when that end is going to come. Of course, he also said in Matthew 24, and I think it's 36, that of that day and hour knows no man, but not he, not the angels, but the Father only. But even though that's so, he has given us an outline of what we can expect as that time draws near. So that was one of the things the disciples asked him. In Matthew 24 and verse 3, and he says, as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, it says the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world." Luke 21, it gives a little bit difference. But that is the question. And the disciples asked Christ, when will this time come? Well, today there are many people asking that same question. A lot of the religious people are asking that same question. They're actually saying that it's going to be soon, and Christ is going to come actually two times. He's going to come and secret away the saints and take them back to heaven for the marriage supper and sign them their signs for 6 or 7 years. And then after that's all over, he's going to come back to the earth and deal with the rest of humanity. But it's a little bit different than that. Actually, I just want to point out then what Christ is saying, that there are seven key markers that we can be sure of as time goes on, that we will know at that time when it happens that the time is getting nearer. The first one, the first key marker that you will notice, that in Matthew 24, he says that for many shall come in my name, and they're saying that I am the Christ. And that actually has been going on for several hundreds of years, probably since the beginning of the church. The Antichrist has been known to be doing his secret work under the table. Today, the churches today that preach about the coming of Christ teach another gospel that's totally different than the one that is presented in this scriptures here. And that's the first thing. That's the first key that you know that we are nearing the end time, because Christ said many will come and teach that I am the Christ. The second key is actually, it says in verse 6 of Matthew 24, it says, "You shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And if you'll flip over to Luke 21 just real quick, you'll find that there is, before that happens, Christ says that there is something else that's going to take place. In Luke 21, it basically says in verse 12, after he talks about over here, "For nation shall rise against nation," verse 12, he says, "But before all of these things, before the wars, before the kingdoms rise against kings and nations against kingdoms," he says in verse 12, "they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." You refer back over to Matthew 24:9, it basically is, in synopsis, is saying basically the same thing. So the second key marker that we will know when Christ is going to return is that the church as a whole, the people in the church, are going to be persecuted. We are between number one and in number two. And as the evil is going on in the world today, such as it is, even in this country, in Canada, they have a law that says that you can't speak up against anybody, because if you do or anything that's wrong, it's called a hate crime. In many parts of the nations of Europe, they've already got this situated. You speak up against anybody, it's living style or anything that they say, you can be thrown in jail and have the key thrown away. In Canada, there was a Baptist minister that spoke up and wrote an article about how God looks down on homosexuality. They came and got him, and they threw him in jail, and the case is now pending. The United States, and here in Oklahoma recently, if you read the paper here this week, there is an article about in the county of Oklahoma itself, there are some people who are living an alternate lifestyle, and they want to be accepted as normal. Those people who wanted to proclaim that marriage is the only way to have a lifestyle are being looked down upon and are being called hate crimers. In the United States, because of our situation, because of the terrorist situation that's going on, we have passed the hate crime law so that if you and I should get up and stand up and say to our neighbor, well, I believe that your lifestyle is wrong, he can have us reported and we can be hauled off to the jail. That's coming up. It's happening in this country. So number one, it's the key marker is there will be many saying that Christ is the Christ. Number two is the big thing that's next to happen to us as a church is that we are going to be persecuted. The third key marker you will find, incidentally, I'm thinking that as it says, they shall deliver you up and be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Why are we going to be hated of all nations for his name's sake? Could it be because we've got these great satellites hovering around the earth that when the people of God are put on trial, that everybody in the world will see them? And because of their courage and because of their unwillingness to compromise with that which is evil, the world will be convicted. And they will hate us because they don't want to change. They don't like God. They would rather be told they're good people and that they can live any kind of lifestyle that they want to, that it's okay. And I wonder that if in Matthew 24:14, if this where it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, and then shall the end come, if that doesn't have something to do with it. Maybe that's how the work will finally get around the world. But the third marker and key that you can count on that Christ says that you'll know when he's going to come back is in verse 16 of Matthew 24. Verse 15. No, actually the third, excuse me, the third key is actually in verse 6. After the persecution of the church, then he says, you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. And of course, we've had wars and rumors of wars. But he's saying it's going to be much more than that. But he's saying you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, and be not troubled, for all these things shall come to pass. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdoms shall rise against kingdoms. There's going to be earthquakes and famines and pestilences and different places. It's going to make the tsunami that cost over 100,000 lives look like a bathtub to just run over. When this thing that's beginning are going to happen after the persecution of the church is what God says. So the third thing is that there are going to be increased wars, and increased kingdom against kingdom, increased earthquakes, and increased tsunamis. And then the fourth thing that he says is going to be a key marker is in verse 15, he says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, and neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and that give suck in those days, but pray that your flight be not in the winter nor on the Sabbath day. Two things are going to take place here. The Antichrist is going to put his office on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. The church, part of the church, is going to be taken out. Those that will hear the call of God, some of the churches, apparently because they will not hear, are going to have to stay behind and suffer what's going to take place in that great tribulation. Because then it says in that fourth key, then shall be great tribulation, such as the world's not seen since the beginning of time, nor shall there ever be again. So it's going to be an awesome time. The time that we have now, the peace that we have now is a wonderful thing. And we need to be sure that we take every advantage of it to redeem the time. Then it says the fifth marker that we can tell when the time is going to be near is during that time, there's going to be more false Christ, and there are going to be more false prophets, and they're going to get up and they're going to do great miracles, even to calling down a fire out of the heavens. And the purpose basically is to deceive the people, but basically it is to deceive that part of the church apparently that is left behind in the tribulation. And but God says because of their sake, he's going to cut the time short. And then the sixth seal, the sixth key to telling when Christ is going to come, it says in verse 29, and he says immediately after the tribulation, that in those days the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then in verse 30 says, which is the seventh key, that they shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then verse 31, it says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. A sound of a trumpet, that's interesting. Kind of knocks the rapture theory, the secret in a way of the saints, kind of knocks that in the head. He shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven, and that word should probably be translated sky, to the other. And then he tells us, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and puts forth its fruits or its leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, then know that it is near, even at the door. So those basically are the seven keys that Christ gave us so that we would know at the time when his coming is near. The fact is, he doesn't even know when he's going to come back. The Father hasn't revealed it, but he's given us an outline so that when we are in the midst of these things that are happening, we will know. Shortly after the persecution starts on the church, you can know for a certainty that all the rest of those keys will probably be fulfilled pretty quickly. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, if that is the case, if I can find my notes here, if that's going to be the case, then Christ is going to be coming, and the church is going to be persecuted, which they are. It could happen quickly with what's going on in our evil society today. What is the thing? What should we be doing? How should we be preparing? What does Christ want us to do so that we can be prepared for that time that's coming? Well, there's four things that Christ has points out that we can do. And the first thing he wants us to do, he tells us to watch and pray. That word watch means to be spiritually aware, be sleepless, meaning spiritually. Of course, we all have to get sleep, but physically. But it means don't go to sleep spiritually. So watch and then pray. The word pray means to beseech and to petition and to beg God that we might be prepared and that we might be worthy to escape all the things that are coming up on us, especially the persecution of the church. The second thing that he's asked us to do is he's asked us to redeem the time. I think it's in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 4. It talks about that we need to redeem the time and to be careful what we do toward those who are on the outside so that we set the right example. And that word redeem means to buy back the time, to make the time that's left for us more important than anything else that we've got to do. So if we are doing then Christ says that we have a chance maybe of being counted worthy to escape all the things that are coming up on this earth. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, seek you the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Now, it's obvious that not every one of us in here probably is a good chance that a lot of us will not see Christ coming. We'll not be there to see him come. A lot of us will probably pass on asleep. And that's a good thing. Maybe it's the only time when death will be really a good friend to us. As it says in Isaiah 57, I think it's verse 1 and 2, it says that the righteous are taken and they die and they're put in their grave and they're put in their chambers. The merciful and the righteous are put in their chambers. And the people around wonder why. And the reason is, it says, is because they are laying down to sleep so that they may be protected from the evil time that is to come. That's a good thing. in my book. So we're not going to really miss anything if we get the chance to die in the Lord. I think it's in Job or in Psalms. It makes the quote that blessed are those who die in the Lord from this day forward. And I'm not for sure exactly what that scripture is. You might look that up and let me know. That's one of the things I didn't get a chance to look up. But then the third thing he tells us to do is that he wants us to endure unto the end. We're obviously going to have to endure. There's no getting out of it. It's going to come upon us. We can't run and hide in the wilderness. There are many around today making all kinds of lists and all kinds of calendars trying to decide when the day Christ is going to come so that they can flee off into the wilderness somewhere and hide from what's going on. But we haven't been given that luxury. We have to stay here. We have to work through it. That word endure means to stay the course. It means to be patient, to bear the trials, to have fortitude. In other words, that's a nice word for having guts. It means to persevere and to abide through all that's going to take place upon this earth to the people of the earth and in our lives until the end time. That word end means to have a goal, to persevere until the termination of the end of the goal. In Revelation 21 and 12, Christ says, behold, I come quickly. And he said, my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. And he says, the Lord shall renew their strength in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, I believe it is. But they that wait upon the Lord, which we're going to have to do, you're going to have to do a lot of waiting upon the Lord to endure till his coming. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So God has promised us that if we are faithful and we observe the things he tells us to do, if we get busy, redeem the time, if we get busy to endure until the end, that he's going to protect us through all of it. Now, the fourth thing that he asks us to do is that he wants us to occupy till I come. Luke 19 and 13. The word in Strong's is in occupy means to busy oneself with or to trade until he comes. We're to stay busy, even in the worst of times, doing the work, witnessing to the world, whatever that means for us to do, overcoming in our lives until the day our change comes. Whether our change comes when we're resurrected at his coming or whether we are still alive and are changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, that remains to be seen for some of us. We can know then when the end comes. Christ has outlined the way it will happen, and he has given us the key signs and the key markers so that we can know at that particular time. He doesn't tell us ahead of time. Generally, we have to be in it before we know what's taking place. The next great event to take place then in our lives is going to be the persecution of the church, the great persecution of the church. And Christ has given us a great and a powerful a way out of it. When will it start? Well, we don't know. That's the one thing that between now and whenever it starts, we don't have any idea. But when the time comes, taking into consideration what's happening in society today and the laws, the kind of laws that they're passing against that which is moral and that which is ethical, I would say that it could come pretty quick. Given the state of the events and the things that are unfolding now and the passing of this new late crime laws, it could be sooner than we realize. Yet Christ assures us and he tells us, he says, be not afraid, for I am with you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So let us be busy, staying awake. Let us watch and pray. Let us, in our watching and praying, do what he said, as the word means, to pray, beg him that we may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming up on the earth, so that we might be worthy. Above all, let us redeem the time, let us endure unto the end, and let us occupy until our change come. And amen to that.